Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Larry the Lawyer is here, and it's time for Ask an Attorney. So you can either text your question for Larry or you can call on the Framingham Ford studio line, which is 617-764-WAAF. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, to everybody, actually.
Traveling, Larry the Lawyer, or staying?
From Brighton back to Central Mass.
Okay, nice. But so you're staying home for the holidays. I'm cooking
my first turkey.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Oh, are you going to, don't deep fry it, or you may have a lawsuit on your hands. We learned earlier.
Well, now I have notice, so I can't deep fry it.
Yeah, we learned that deep frying a turkey is not advised because there are so many injuries and explosions and fires that are associated with that. So
I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about killing somebody in the house as this goes down.
Get away from the bird, or any of those kinds of things. Make sure you cook it enough. You don't want to cause a salmonella outbreak or anything
and
like that.
And we certainly don't need another debate about food and why you shouldn't eat certain lettuce.
Well, one of the national food organizations has come out based on the turkey challenge that was going around virally, in which many were asking their mom how long you microwave a turkey for. One of the national food organizations has come out and said that you can actually microwave a turkey. It'll take an awful long time. But for those of you who don't have an oven, you can actually microwave a turkey, but be careful. Make sure you cook it enough.
When we first got a microwave back in the 80s, my mother microwaved a steak. That was the last time that happened.
She did.
I bet that tasted good.
Right?
Yeah.
If you can avoid that, I would avoid microwaving your turkey.
Larry, here's a text, and then I want to ask you about the napkin deal, but 774 text. A few months ago, an ex-friend managed to hack into my Facebook, read personal messages between myself and my boyfriend, which she then made known to me that she had done so. I didn't know exactly what else she did while she was on my Facebook account, but I do have the paper trail of an unknown device logging into my Facebook for about an hour. Is there anything legal that can be done about her breaking into my Facebook in the first place, or if she uses any information that she found on my Facebook to defame me, can I take legal action?
This is great.
Yeah.
This is the day and age we live in.
She's
going to come home and the bunny's going to be boiling in the backyard.
Dan.
I mean, this is obviously between, I think it's between two women.
Might be between two women and one man.
Well, that could be. There's probably a reason why she, but this, her ex-friend got into her Facebook. Is there anything legally you can do about that?
I mean, look, you have a right to privacy. If somebody hacked into your account, that violates, federal law anyways. Can't do that. So if she does start disseminating your private information, you may have an issue. I think she needs to talk to her boyfriend, though, don't you?
Well, you're suspicious? You think
there's something going on? I am a little
suspicious. Yeah. We were talking earlier about a court case in Alaska in which a legendary sales technique was used, the cocktail napkin deal. And this lawsuit questions the validity of a contract signed on a cocktail napkin. How do you think this is going to go?
I'll tell you two things. First of all, this was a proud daddy moment coming in this morning and having LB recall and state and articulate in a very good, clear way that we did talk about this a couple weeks back.
Yes. Not so, specifically the cocktail napkin, but contracts.
Contracts
in
on napkins.
Yes. Yeah.
And, after that particular show, I went home and I pulled out my first year law student book and pulled up the case Lucy versus Zelmer. That is the old cocktail napkin case where in the 50s, the Zelmers tried to purchase a farm from the Lucys. They bought a bottle of whiskey and they got him drunk. Then they did the deal on a napkin.
Yeah.
And the next day they went and hired their lawyer to do the title search, called up Mr. Lucy and said, when are we going to close? And he said, what are you talking about? You got me drunk. I'm not closing anything. You can't do that. And it was on a napkin. And the Supreme Court of the United States of America said, no, you weren't that drunk. You knew what you were doing. You wrote it down. There's an offer and acceptance and consideration there, so you have to sell your farm.
He lost the farm?
Lost the farm for
$50,000. I hope the whiskey was a good whiskey. Do we know what kind of whiskey it was?
It was back in the 50s.
That's a good whiskey.
It was
CC.
If it was the... If it was the 50s, it was probably a
Seagram's.
Yes, a Seagram 7 and 7.
Yes.
The 7 Up.
I had an aunt that used to drink the Seagram's,
Seagram's?
7
Ooh.
And 7.
Yeah.
I actually named my youngest after her.
Seagram's?
No, Alice.
After the aunt. Okay. This is Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, so I have a question for you. I got a job not too long ago as director of operations for a small company that was mid-sized, but a little bit in disarray. After about a month, they invited me out for coffee in the morning and said it wasn't working out without anything that happened, anything happened beforehand, nothing up until that point. So then I had a few months out of work until I found another job. I had to dip into my 401k to take care of my family. I mean, is there any recourse I can take there? Do they have to give me any type of notice or warning? Or
no, to be honest with you, if I was their lawyer, I would have told them the same thing. Don't give you any reasons. They're a lot better not giving you a reason than giving you a reason. And, you know,
really?
As you know.
So if you're firing somebody, you should never give them a reason?
I mean, I don't think you should, okay, because anything you say is going to be used against you
so
in
just
court of law.
So just terminate it.
You're fired.
And they don't owe you. Unfortunately, Brian, I guess they do not owe you any kind of an explanation.
No explanation
is
necessary.
Is it like employee at will type situation?
Sounds like it. You know, when you're there a month, you're also probably, he's probably already there on a probationary period as
right.
well,
yeah.
which is a little bit different rules as well.
We have a question about an engagement ring
Ooh.
From Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Welcome to Ask an Attorney with Larry Army Jr., Larry the Lawyer.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, so Larry, I bought an engagement ring from Sears in Salem, New Hampshire. You know, they had a going out of business sale, so I got a good price on it. Brought the ring to a jeweler to have it sized, and they basically informed me, as well as like three other jewelers, that the ring had already been purchased. And returned and was already sized. So the setting can never actually be sized up to fit my future fiance. And the stone was actually chipped. And at the bottom of the receipt, it says that there's all sales are final. I brought it back to the store. They told me to take a hike. I feel like I was totally deceived. I mean, I thought I was purchasing a brand new engagement ring. It said nothing. They didn't disclose anything about it being purchased or anything like that. Do I have any recourse at all?
You know, you got a couple problems here. This is from Sears, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the first problem. Didn't they
They're kind of in chapter
11
or 8 or 7 or whatever.
When they're in the bankruptcy, you can't even start a lawsuit against them unless you go through the bankruptcy court. And you need a lawyer to do that because you're not going to sue Sears in bankruptcy court without it.
I think you're probably out the $50 you paid for the engagement ring at Sears.
It was a 2-carat diamond. So.
At Whoa. Sears?
A chipped 2-carat diamond.
Now, don't you feel stupid, Greg?
How much did you pay for it?
I paid $35 for it.
$3,500. $3,500 or $35,000?
$3,500. Retailed for $12,000.
Now, did you end up, I got to know whether you ended up getting engaged or used a different ring?
No. Got reservations and everything. It's all set up and planned on doing it this weekend.
I hope she's not
listening.
Jesus,
doesn't look like that's happening.
Yeah. Well, hey, bud, just be aggressive. Number one, my buddy's own Stardust Jewelers over in Framingham.
There it is.
No.
Go ahead, give it a ding.
There we go.
There it is.
Somebody's getting a nice Thanksgiving day to lock it.
He doesn't have money to go to Stardust Jewelers.
It's not going to cost you a fortune. They'll take the diamond. They'll get rid of the chip. They'll regrind the diamond, and get a new gold. Get a new 24-karat gold setting, and they'll reset it, and you're going to be good to go.
He doesn't have the money.
Tell him LB sent you, Greg.
Yes, and tell him LB sent you.
Yeah, call your dad. Call your old man. Sam, look, I need a fave. Throw me like, it's not going to cost you a lot of money. It's worth it just to go.
They actually can't reset the diamond. That's part of the problem.
They can take any diamond off of a gold setting, and they'll make you a new gold setting and reset the diamond after they get the chip out of it. Just be proactive. What's the harm in going to see Stardust Jewelers and ask a question?
All right, we got it.
Well, I don't care. Go to another. Go to another diamond guy. They're the only ones I know. When, outside of New York.
As Dion Lewis said, this is what happens when you go cheap. Let's see. This is Mike. Hello, Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what's your question for Larry the lawyer?
All right, I got a question. Back when I was young, a bunch of us got caught in a stolen van. We didn't have money for a lawyer back then, so we thought we all got charged with joyriding.
Yeah.
Recently went for my all lawful purposes to carry. They told me no because it was a felony, larceny in a motor vehicle.
Yeah.
And I called the courthouse, and they said they had no record of it because back then all their stuff was on fiche.
Ooh.
And that it got, they had some kind of flood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to do. I don't know if I could fight it or what.
All right. Can he fight that?
Yeah, you can always appeal that. I mean, your problem is if you have a felony on your record, that's going to be an issue, and they probably have the right to not give you your permit. But you might want to try to fight it. You can do it in Superior Court and see what happens. But, you know, with a felony, I mean, it's pretty much up to the discretion of the chief of police. But, again, you can't appeal that to Superior Court.
If you'd like to text in with a question for Ask an Attorney, you could do so right now on the text line, which is 97107. This texter says, LB's life is like a Pawn Stars episode.
Yes.
He always has a buddy that you should talk to. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course. I'm old school. I'm the barter system. You know, I did stuff for people. People did stuff for me. It's not, you know, shame on the world we live in now in 2018 when everybody's trying to bust everybody's nuts and no one will do anything for anybody.
Larry, here's a 781 text. Do you know how well a cohabitation agreement will hold up in court? And by the way, let us know, what is a cohabitation agreement?
I was just going to ask the same question.
So I assume it's for people who are living together. They sign some sort of agreement.
Sounds like a lease to me, right?
Maybe it's about a relationship, cohabitation. You don't know anything about it.
I can only assume that it is an agreement between two people that are going to cohabitate together.
Yeah,
correct.
Let's
and
go
not
with
get
that.
Married.
Is that
who
yes.
have not been
yes.
married.
Is it a big thing?
Usually
now,
they're in a couple. Yes, there are templates available online, but I would suggest that you contact armyandroach.com in that
yeah.
case.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you think that's something that would hold up in court if you did one online?
Be honest with you, I've never done one of those in my life. But if you draft a contract and it's drafted well, it'll typically hold up in court. I would tell you this. I mean, it sounds like a pretty smart thing to do. If you're moving in with somebody and only one person's on the lease, how many times have we had somebody call this show with that issue?
Yeah.
So cohabitation agreements. This is a Thanksgiving special.
Is there a 978 text? Is there any way to get out of a timeshare agreement?
Yeah.
Die.
Yeah. Call that guy on the radio that tells you that he'll guarantee he can get you out of it.
Well,
and it's not just your problem. It's your family's problem, too.
Call Cordell and Cordell. They'll probably get you out of that.
No, Google
that's
it.
That's a different issue.
There's a TV commercial now that says.
Yeah, that's what Larry's talking about. Is there any way to get out of those
things? I'll tell you this. I once, and this is the only time I will ever do this in my life, I once tried to get one of my clients out of a timeshare. All we tried to do is transfer the deed from one family member to another.
What, did they fall for the free rental Jeep on Aruba?
They had the free vacation.
They had to spend
2 hours in a timeshare and spend thousands of dollars on something that they thought was free, right?
And did you get them out of it?
Nine and a half months later. It was the most grueling, painstaking, awful thing that I have ever done dealing with these timeshare companies. I would never buy a timeshare.
Wife,
that's my advice.
Here's a 978 text. Wife bought a new car. I'm giving her car to our twins. Should we keep it under our insurance or get them insurance in their own names to limit our liability?
So if you put the insurance in your name and list them as a driver, it's most likely going to be a little bit cheaper for you. Having said that, you know, you own the car. If the car and the insurance is in their name only, then your liability is going to probably be insulated. You're going to pay a little bit more. But the other question now becomes, who owns the car that you're insuring for them? So if you own the car but it's their insurance policy, you still have the issue of negligent entrustment and some other things that can happen if they get in an accident.
Here's a 617 text. I hired a lawyer to fight an OUI. He said he could get me off the charge, but he didn't. do I have to pay him?
So, everybody, everybody out there, here's some great advice. If a lawyer promises a result, you should probably go to the next lawyer.
Okay.
That's pretty much the way it goes. I mean, yeah. The only person, especially with an OUI, if you have a jury trial, you have six people that have to find you guilty or not guilty, or, you know, you can have a hung jury as well. But lawyers can't interfere with
that
process.
Can't have a hung jury if LB's on it.
No, you can't.
Small penis joke. If you've been paying attention for 6 months.
But so a lawyer should not be telling you that he knows unequivocally what
happens every day, though. Hey, yeah. People want to hear things. They walk into an office, they pay an exorbitant amount of money because they're being told what they want to hear versus being told what they need to hear, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that, you know, we have some people that leave unhappy, but at least they know what the truth is.
Right. Can an employer force me to take a lunch break?
Can an employer force you to take a lunch break? I know that you have to take, if you're working an 8-hour shift, you have to take a 30-minute lunch break.
Well, you have to
break.
Be given one.
Correct.
I don't know. I mean, people work through their lunch all the time.
Yeah, then leave a half hour early, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Can they force you? Why would they want to force you to take a break?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. So, you know, get that half hour to clear your mind and come back fresh and ready to go, ready to rumble again. You know, number two, staying away from any criminal civil liability for having an employee not take their mandatory half hour lunch break.
I got to tell you something. You have the right lunch on your lunch break. You're not more productive. You want a nap afterwards.
You're not lying.
In the afternoon. All right. Well. Do you have another 10 minutes or so, Larry, the lawyer, before you start going to make that turkey, get the turkey ready for Thanksgiving?
I started that yesterday, but we'll be good.
Larry, the lawyer, is here. Larry Army, excuse me, and it's Ask an Attorney. And also, very good friend of the show, the comedian and actress Sue Costello has stopped by.
I love her.
And Sue is home for the holidays and has some news for us. So we're going to continue with Larry the Lawyer. Then we'll get Sue in here on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Hillman Morning Show. Larry the Lawyer is here on the day before Thanksgiving. It is expected to be the busiest travel day of the year, obviously, and the busiest Thanksgiving travel day since 2005. So thoughts and prayers to those of you who are on the road right now or will head out soon. Yes, Larry.
And
yes,
the number one day of the year for domestic disturbances.
What?
Yes.
I believe
really?
That.
Of course.
That's a true story. Google
today,
it.
Not today. You
no,
mean
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow is.
Just add alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just add alcohol.
Somebody right. throws out a political topic and it's on.
Well, today's weather is brought to you by Account Temps, and it's going to be sunny, and the temperature is going to get up to the 40s, so it looks like it'll be a little less dangerous on the roadways ice-wise. A tough commute this morning with the ice on the roads, but tomorrow it may be the coldest Thanksgiving that we've had in quite some time. The AccuWeather Real Feel Temperature LB will be minus 12 degrees tomorrow.
I'm going to have to go buy a new winter jacket.
Yes, yes. Account Temps, finding highly skilled accounting and finance professionals can be a challenge. Account Temps can help. With Account Temps' extensive network of accounting and finance contractors, you can be sure to find the right person for your exact hiring needs. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. Ask an Attorney with Larry Army. By the way, Larry, always we have to offer a disclaimer. He's not acting in an official capacity as your lawyer today, just offering his personal advice. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Jeff.
Hey, quick question. Larry, I know in the past you have mentioned if the police pull you over and you have an LTC, they automatically know.
Correct.
Now, with these new marijuana dispensaries popping up and they're checking your licenses, could this possibly be a way that the gun grabbers are going to go after you? You know, would they cross-reference and say, wait a minute, this guy's got an LTC and he's buying pot?
So you can buy the pot, not a problem there. You just can't smoke the pot with your gun on you. That's the
gotcha.
Problem.
If you're an LTC holder, I would stay far away from any recreational pot shop.
Well, hold
period.
On. Hold why? On. Now, because why would you say that?
Because as an LTC holder, Marijuana is still a federally illegal product. And if you use or purchase marijuana, you are considered a prohibited person according to federal law.
But now, guns are state law.
There's a fine line here. There is a very fine line. A lot of people who applied for medical marijuana cards had to surrender their LTCs. So I would just my own personal opinion, if you want to smoke the pot, do your thing. I would not scan any IDs at any recreational shops.
But well, what if I want to get stoned and clean my weapon?
Move to West Virginia.
That's code, by the way. So, that's interesting. So people are concerned about going there because they ask you for your ID.
Right.
And they're worried that later on the federal government will say that you should not be in possession of a weapon because you're a marijuana user.
Right. Right on the firearms transaction record, which I believe is monitored by the ATF, which is a federal organization, it does ask you, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana, blah, 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 any other thing? And then it literally says right there, the use or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state in which you decide to reside. So if you want to keep your gun, I would stay quiet about that.
Well, let me say this. I think that this is a mentality change effective yesterday. Buying marijuana is no different than going to the liquor store and buying a six-pack. And I think that the more that people understand that, I get where you're coming from. But, you know, to me, I don't think so. You're not going to lose your license to carry if you're going to buy two bottles of wine at Wegmans.
But
why would
alcohol
you lose?
Is not a federally prohibited product. It's legal throughout the United States.
And the gun licenses are state regulated.
Larry and I are going to fight. I love it.
We're not going to fight. I'm right. You're wrong.
Here's the text that says, okay, you're on the line with Danielle, the district attorney, who was fighting the lawyer over who, I mean.
You know what? We have gotten this question a lot.
LB, was this the gun person you were talking about?
She's got an LTC. It's Nancy Know-It-All, kid.
You're getting it in the grill. Go ahead. Go scan your ID. They said they don't keep any copy of it. You're fine. But when they come knocking at your door being like, hey, so you're going to have to surrender that LTC because you're on the pot. You can remember who told you first.
Speaking of marijuana, look at this. This is a 781 text. Yesterday, I was interviewed on the television news when purchasing marijuana legally. I was told at the end of my workday I needed to report this morning, and I'm concerned that I am going to be fired. Can they fire me when I was out purchasing legal marijuana yesterday?
Well, I don't know. It depends. Did you call in with a doctor's note?
I don't know if they're going to be fired for missing work or if they're going to be fired because the person doesn't want a pot smoker working there.
How about this? Just stay off the television camera on day one of the marijuana sales. Like, who thinks that's a good idea?
I know. Well,
by the way, you know what I'm thinking in my head? Because, of course, I watched all of this last night. Yeah. I'm thinking, is it the guy with the beard we're talking to right now? Is it the young black guy that we're talking to? Like, which one are we? There's only three or four of them. I'm wondering which one it could be.
I mean, could you fire somebody who's using a legal product like marijuana?
Yeah. I mean, look, you can't smoke weed during the day. Same way you can't come to work drunk.
Right.
It's just, that's not okay.
Yeah.
People need to remember, just because something's legal doesn't mean you have the right to now just do whatever you want with it. There's still rules when you come to work. Yeah. You know, your employee manual, your contract. Things change now that it's legal, certainly, because it's not an illegal drug.
Uh-huh.
But as we've talked about in the past, that doesn't mean that if you're a police officer, you can't go smoke a doobie 2 hours later, show up for your shift. That's not going to work out well for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of these things.
All right. Larry the lawyer, for a few more moments, you can text your question to Larry on the text line, which is 97107, or you can call on the Framingham Ford studio line, which is 617-764-WAAF. That's 617-764-WAAF. And the texter says the mayor of Northampton.
He bought.
He was the first in line at the dispensary out there yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mayor Narc Owitz.
Oh, that's his name? Mayor, Mayor Narcolitz.
Yes, I got a kick out of that yesterday.
Let's see. Here's a text. I got gas at a Citgo station, and it turned out that there were 6 out of 8 gallons of water in it, and it destroyed my truck motor.
Jesus.
Spent $2,000 trying to fix my truck motor. What can I do about that?
And so the question that I would have is, how do you connect that to the bad gas? You know, because if you have 6 gallons of water in your gas tank pumping 8 gallons of gas, you would think that you were not the only one that was going to lose your engine that day.
Yeah.
So I think your first question is finding out if anybody else had this issue. It's just a weird thing that you would pump gas and get 6 gallons of water and 2 gallons of gas. But having said that, if that's in fact what happened, you can sue the person that sold you that gas and probably get your new engine.
Yeah, it's federal law.
Federal law.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
I am in between these two legal experts today.
Here's a text that says, how does it work as a Department of Transportation employee in legal marijuana? I'm obviously not going to smoke and drive, but is there a middle ground?
Yeah, just be careful and don't be dumb and don't drive when you're stoned. You know, here's the problem. You know, the problem's going to be with these people that have these CDL licenses, you know, that smoke on a Friday night after work, and then they go back to work on Monday morning, and they're going to get tested, because marijuana, unlike a lot of these other drugs, stays for an awful long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be an issue, and, you know, this is all brand new, so there's really no answers to a lot of these questions yet. So I think a lot of this will be clearer in the next year or two.
And CDLs are regulated on the federal level, too, right? So that's another hiccup.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm just saying, crazy you have feds. To be careful.
She's the Google lawyer.
I'm not. This
yes,
is,
you
this
are.
Is,
everything that he talks is about, some, you Google.
Listen, the marijuana.
You Google and then throw it out there.
Not the pot in the LTC, because we've talked about this. People have been asking about it since we voted recreational pot into legality. You have to be careful if you want to keep your guns. We live in Massachusetts. All they want to do is take your guns away from you. Get it together, people.
Okay, Annie Oakley.
Hey.
Here's Hope.
Annie Oakley, wow.
Hello, Hope.
Hi.
Hi, Hope.
I'm doing good, thank you.
I didn't ask yet, but how old are you?
Did I miss that question?
Ask that one.
I'm 39.
What's up, Hope?
I have a 19-year-old daughter who has been living on her own since she was 16. I pay child support, and it comes out of my disability. And I was wondering, since she's been living on her own since she was 16, she goes to school full-time, and she works full-time. Am I still obligated to pay child support?
So if your child is enrolled in a full-time university or college post-high school, then you can be ordered to pay child support up until they graduate or they attain the age of 23 years of age. If your child
is
truly emancipated... And she's over 18, so she doesn't need a legal emancipation. She's by date of birth emancipated. You know, you certainly may have an opportunity to eliminate your support if she's living, for example, with her father. You know, that's going to make things a little bit more difficult.
No,
the interesting thing to me
is,
she's
living on her own with her boyfriend.
If you're on disability, typically the way that works is you shouldn't be paying her out of your disability. She should be getting a separate check from the disability, for Social Security, for example.
Oh.
So I don't know who did your case in terms of the disability, but...
The Worcester Courthouse.
Well,
did you have a lawyer? Call Larry.
I didn't have a lawyer. I was only it was only mediated.
See, that's the issue. Because technically you should have had the Social Security disability pay the child support for you.
Get a lawyer. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Nick?
Larry, listen... me and this guy from high school have been fighting over this girl. She was a sweetheart. I always wanted to sleep with her.
I finally slept with her. Nick.
Yeah.
Is she a complete smoke?
Yeah, she's smoking hot.
Okay, all right. So smoking hot. You guys been fighting over...
Since high school.
You wanted to sleep with her. All right, go ahead.
Right. And he was never, a good friend. We never hung around, drank beers or whatever, went to the bar or whatever. He wasn't, a good friend, I could borrow a couple grand from or whatever, nothing like that.
Right.
But anyways, when it came down to it, he broke my nose and gave me 2 stitches in the head and almost killed me. But he punched me in the temple a couple times.
Because you slept with his girl. It's because you slept with his girl.
No, but it wasn't. But they haven't been together in 20 years.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So what's next?
So we went to court, and I got him out of the court. He was looking at 2.5 years in jail. But I wanted to know. The attorney told me did you assault him or did he assault you? And it was a bloody mess. It was a bloody nightmare.
Yeah.
So how does that work? I mean,
do you have a legal question in here?
Don't you just want to hear him keep going?
He's looking for a payday.
Send it to Jerry Springer. He handles these kinds of legal questions. What is your question, Nick?
My question is how can somebody come in somebody else's house and storm the door and beat you up? My question is the legal term, I forgot the legal term that the attorney used, did you defend yourself or did you hit him?
Self-defense,
a term of art, Gregory.
In other words, I had to say I fought back let him to go out of court.
Hey, was it worth it?
So how does that work?
Yeah, was it worth it?
Was it worth it?
Was she good in the sack?
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. Was she good?
Are you asking Larry, should you hire a lawyer and see if you can get some money?
Nick?
Have another.
All right.
I wonder why there was a brawl.
Nick is no longer with us, and I don't mean...
Hey, but 20 years of persistence.
I don't mean
Nick
in
got
this
the
physical
girl.
World.
Nailed it.
Yes. Yep. Hello, Joe.
Hey, you guys. Love the last call.
Yes, yes.
Right. Yes. Appreciate Larry the lawyer. I've been living in Worcester in an apartment for about 8 months now, and the ceiling, when we first viewed it, had some brown spots on it, and then about a month after we moved in, it's been leaking for the 7 months straight now. I'm wondering, should I hire a lawyer? Do I have the right to withhold rent? And I guess, what should I do?
Yeah.
So best thing, easiest thing, cheapest thing, and the most effective thing for you to do is contact the Board of Health. If you have water leaking in the property and black mold, that's a health issue. They're going to come in. They're going to issue a code enforcement violation notice to the landlord, at which point in time this is going to get resolved very quickly.
Speaking of landlords, here's a text from a tenant who says, can a landlord kick you out because he wants to have family move in? We have a tenant at will lease.
So another word for kick me out is evict.
Yes.
Yes, they can ask you to leave politely, short of eviction. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're a tenant at will and he gives you 30 days notice, 30 day notice to quit, and you don't move out, he can bring an eviction action against you. And he doesn't really need a reason if you're a tenant at will. So ultimately, yes. Okay. You might want to ask him for some moving expenses, though. That's my little hint for you for today.
781 texter says Nick is the spirit of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Nick the caller.
Yes.
That guy was
Love
the spirit. He was the spirit of Massachusetts.
Yep. He may be the father of the two guys that found the Red Sox banner.
I think he's probably related to the two guys who found the Red Sox banner. You are 100% correct. And also, theoretically, could be related to Kerry in a cup.
Oh, my God. Hold on a second.
Absolutely.
Holiday time is here. Happy Thanksgiving.
Here's Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Let's see. So I wanted to ask Larry the lawyer a question.
Go ahead.
So here it goes. So I went to this restaurant. It's pretty local. I live in close to Lake... In Air, you know.
Close
so
to what?
It's pretty local, and I live in Air. So
Air, okay.
This
Air.
Restaurant's pretty local.
Yeah.
So I got the fried lobster chunks, right?
Yep.
There is no way that it's fried lobster.
Huh.
No way. So I was wondering.
This is good.
What?
Fried lobster chunks.
Yeah.
And it clearly wasn't lobster?
Yep, fried lobster chunks.
Did you eat it?
Well, yeah, I tried it, and that's how I knew, you know. And then I was, like, inspecting it, and it looked like they had, like, fake food coloring on it or something to make it look like the redness of the lobster.
Uh-huh.
So what did you do?
What did you do?
Well, I talked to my mother about it and said, this is a bunch of crap. This place is not a, this, you know, they're committing fraud. this isn't even lobster.
Yes.
And so what did your mom say?
Case, Larry.
What did your mom say?
She agreed, like, later on.
What did your mom order?
Because she was kind of confused at the time.
No, but what did she order for her entree?
My mother, I'm trying to think what she ordered. I can't really remember, but she was satisfied. But I'm the one that got the lobster chunks, you know?
Yeah, did you talk to the manager?
No, I did not, because I know they're just going to deny it. But I'm telling you, you know, I know my lobster, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. How much was it?
I think it was like fried lobster chunks with something else, but I forgot what the something else was.
Yep. But how much was the entree?
So anyway, it was about like $18, $17.95.
Yeah, definitely not lobster.
What do you think? Lawsuit? Larry, lawsuit on this baby or what?
Did you get your money back or did you get another meal when you complained?
No, Larry, because I didn't complain, but I'm thinking, wait a minute, this place is like getting away with fraud. I'm telling you, this is not lobster.
Well, you know what? Here's
it's
a word.
It's like a bottom feeder, I think. It's white, type of fish, you know?
It's imitation crab. Yeah. Probably the imitation crab meat.
Pollock.
They're trying to pass it off as lobster. Forget about it.
But there's no pink on this thing. You know what I mean?
No,
Bud, on a sidebar, order it to go, and then go get it tested.
Oh, take it to a testing lab.
That's what
lab.
I was thinking. Ooh. I'll be.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
If I asked the lawyer, they would tell me to get it tested.
Yeah. All right.
You know what I love?
Yes. Yes.
I love people in Massachusetts.
Well, I got to tell you something. I don't know if it's legal marijuana day before Thanksgiving, but
this is special.
When it comes to the callers, it's been extraordinary quality today. Extraordinary.
And we didn't even have that one big question.
Those are two absolute amazing phone calls today, and there's nothing worse than biting into a giant chunk of what you think is lobster, and there's no pink to it. You know what I mean? And it doesn't taste anything like lobster.
And was it white?
It was robster. That's what it was. All right. Let me just see what Jim has to say. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Larry if I have anything legal I could do about WAAF changing their phone number.
Yes.
For the caller line. Because I got to tell you, I've been listening for 20-some-odd years.
Yep.
And I cannot remember the phone number. The only reason I can call is I put 617 in my phone. It's the only number I call. The 617 area code. So I want to know if there's anything legally I could do.
Class action suit. File a class action suit. All right.
Class action suit. But you know what's interesting about that, Greg, is he managed to find his way to the phone and make it on the radio.
He did. In the case of these people, it might be a no-class action suit is what it might be. All right, you could call 617-764-WAAF if you ever have that issue in the future. All right, Larry. Well, I got to tell you something. Good stuff today. Yeah. Larry the lawyer.
There's a lot of people having fun out there today, Greg.
Way to work, kid.
If somebody has been fed what they believe is fraudulent lobster, how do they reach you?
Well,
how do they get a hold of you?
You know, I thought you were going to say infused lobster with THC.
It's a flavor of lobster.
www.armyandroach.com. Twitter is Larry Army Jr. ESQ.
All right. Have a great Thanksgiving, Larry.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. I appreciate the great year we've had on the show.
Yes. We'll see you before the Christmas arrives, and we'll be back with Sue Costello coming.